The Pope, or Bishop of Rome, is the spiritual leader of roughly 1 billion Roman Catholics around the world, but because popes have this vast following, they also are a political force. They can play a key role in shaping international events. Day to Day's Eric Weiner reports.
Joseph Stalin was once asked what role he thought the Pope might play in events unfolding at the dawn of World War II. "The Pope," Stalin famously sniffed, "how many divisions has he got?" Stalin, of course, was right. The Pope commands no huge armies, has no air force, no navy. But any pope wields a lot of influence on the world stage, and that was especially the case with Pope John Paul II. His role in the demise of communism in Eastern Europe is well known, but the Pope did much more than that. He used his morality megaphone, as some call it, to support democracy movements around the world. The Pope visited 109 countries, more than all of his predecessors combined. For repressive governments, a papal visit was a mixed blessing, so to speak. Scott Appleby is director of the Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies at the University of Notre Dame.
These regimes, as the one in Haiti and in the Philippines, welcomed him, wanted to seem to be endorsed by him, but also took a beating with their populations because the Pope would roundly criticize them and point out where the violations had occurred in human rights and where freedoms had been curtailed. And he had remarkable influence in many settings as a result of that method.
Sometimes papal intervention led to dramatic results, such as the fall of Filipino dictator Ferdinand Marcos in 1986. Other times, the results were more subtle. After a controversial papal visit to Cuba in 1998, Fidel Castro freed several hundred political prisoners, but of course he remains in power. The Pope also played the role of international peacemaker. In the 1980s, he personally negotiated a peace treaty between Argentina and Chile, bringing both countries back from the brink of war. But not everyone approved of the Pope's travels. Some critics said they were the religious equivalent of rock concerts, flashy and expensive, but rarely effective. Eric Hansen, a professor at Santa Clara University and author of a book on the Catholic Church, says the Pope's record as international peacemaker is far from perfect.
John Paul II's major piece of unfinished business, of course, was the Palestinian issue. If he's talking to St. Peter right now and saying, "What I didn't get done, I did not get done the Oslo process." He went, you probably remember, he went to Israel and Palestine in March of 2000, met with Arafat, went to the Holocaust Monument, also went to a Palestinian refugee camp. He did as good a job as is possible at mediating the cultural and religious issues involved.
Yet he failed to bring Israel and the Palestinians back to the negotiating table, and he failed to forestall a U.S. invasion of Iraq, even after sending emissaries to both Washington and Baghdad. And for all his travels, the Pope never visited Russia or China, two nations that have tense relations with the Catholic Church. Yet on balance, says Eric Hansen, Pope John Paul II was the perfect pontiff for his time. He had personally experienced the brutality of both fascist and communist regimes. He spoke at least seven languages fluently and knew how to use the international media to full effect.
It's a very tough act to follow. That's why I think not just all Catholics, but everybody of goodwill and everybody interested in international affairs ought to pray that we get somebody really good to follow him.
The next pope, analysts say, is likely to face a different set of challenges. No longer is the struggle between East and West, capitalism and communism, but between North and South, rich and poor. That's why some analysts say the next pope is likely to come from the developing world, possibly Latin America. Whatever his nationality, says the University of Notre Dame's Scott Appleby, the next pope is likely to spend less time wrestling with geopolitics in the conventional sense and more time mediating in the war of ideas.
In dialoguing with Islam about religious freedom, about the role of women, about the appropriate pace of economic development and the fate of the poor, in asking questions along with scientists about new definitions of the beginning and end of life, of what it means to be human, and of interacting with people who, for whom God seems to be an outdated concept.
Big ideas, says Appleby, but big ideas are what the papacy specializes in. Eric Weiner, NPR News.